The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and this is the Crossman Conversation. And Mike, before we get started today, I do have a quick story for you. Is that okay, Mike?
I love them.
Okay, I got to tell you a quick story. So, Mike, I was raised, you know, a pastor's kid. I was in a Christian household. But, you know, faith is not inherent. That doesn't mean, like, boom, you're a Christian household, bad as a pastor. Boom, you're Christian. That's not a thing. You know, you got to. And I can remember being in college, and it was my sophomore year. My freshman year, I had a perfect record with church. I never went. Perfect record. Never went to church one time. My sophomore year, I started going to church, and I remember having a dream where I saw this bark, and it was looked really good, but then when you went to the back, it was, like, really hollow. And I remember having this conviction of, like, God was speaking to me, like, that was kind of me. Like, maybe I look good, but there wasn't really anything behind it, you know? So I had a friend of mine invite me to a FCA meeting, and I was a student athlete at Florida State University. And so I'm sitting there next to my buddy, and we weren't real good friends, but we knew each other. And they did, you know, like an altar call kind of a thing. And they asked people to, you know, to choose, to stand up, like you're making a choice to be a follower of Christ. And the guy next to me, who I'm still friends with, he stood up and made that decision. And then I stood up and made that decision. It was the first time in my life that I became a follower of Christ. Like I am, as a man, as an adult, I am choosing this path. And so as soon as I made that decision, they said, hey, we have this senior guy we're going to connect you with to talk to you about your faith. And the guy they connected me with, this guy was like super amazing basketball player, athlete, you know, star guy, super well known. It was like unbelievable. And that guy was Ron Miller. And Ron Miller is our guest. That's who we have on this. So Ron Miller, thanks for being on our show today. Thank you.
Well, John, thank you. And it's just a great honor and privilege to be able to be on your show. Thank you for considering me and having me. And I love that story. And that's the great thing about doing life is because God is our Father, and we see it in the Trinity. It's all about relationships. And the most wonderful thing about doing life is the great relationships he brings you into. So I'm very thankful for your relationship and just the opportunity that we had to meet and have that experience together.
It's crazy, right? It's 31, 32 years later, and here we are hanging out again.
That's what's really crazy. That's what's really crazy when you think about how fast time goes by. I can't believe it's been over 30 years.
So let me do this first. So Ron Miller, you know, you're playing b-ball at FSU, and first off, when you're there, when you started at FSU, I think there was a guy named Deion Sanders was there at the same time. Is that true?
Deion was on the football team and older. I think it was his senior year when it was my first year there. So, you know, he was already in the fullness of being prime time. And I remember, I think he drove around in that white convertible LeBaron. So he was, you know, quite the public figure and character, and of course, an amazing football player. But yep, he was there prime time.
So in my mind, like you were teammates with Deion. You were friends with Deion. It's hard to say you and Deion used to hang out together. Okay, so I'm gonna change the subject now. Tell me this on the basketball team. Like you played, you could shoot a three, my friend. I watched you do this. Tell us who were your teammates in your era at that time? Who was on the team?
Yeah, it's an amazing era of basketball at Florida State. And again, just, you know, was able to fulfill a childhood dream and just so thankful for the time I was there with the amazing people and athletes that I got to play with. George McLeod was there at the time.
Yeah.
He became a first round draft pick. I think he was like the seventh pick in the draft.
Sure.
He was there my sophomore year. Irving Thomas got drafted by the Lakers and ended up playing with them. And now he's actually a scout for the Lakers. He still works for that organization. Then we had Doug Edwards came as probably our highest recruit at the time. And Doug ended up being the top 10 first round pick. And then my senior year, all at one time, I had Charlie Ward come out from the team at the time when he was a punter. And, you know, he ended up becoming a first-round draft pick with the Knicks. Then Bob Serra was a freshman that year, and nobody had really ever heard of him. He'd come from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And we were actually the largest school to offer him a scholarship. And, you know, he became a first-round draft pick. He was ACC Freshman of the Year, ended up being our all-time leading scorer in FSU basketball history. So that's somewhat of an amazing story also. And then Sam Cassell came from junior college all in my senior year. And of course, Sam played 17 years in the NBA, won two championships with the Rockets his first 2 years. And we had four NBA first rounders on the team at one time during that era. And it was, like I said, a great honor and privilege to play with those guys, but it was not good for my playing time.
Well, at least you feel good. You have the history of knowing, you know, what's around you. I mean,
now, not
it's crazy.
My senior year so much.
Yeah.
But I feel a lot better about it now. And I laugh and joke about it now because, you know, I was competing with those guys, you know, and I mean, I was playing it, you know, I'm not saying I was an NBA first rounder at all, but I could compete with them,
sure.
You know, at a pretty high level. And so my point is I was just, you know, every day deceptive enough to just be fighting for playing time. And I look back on it now and I go, I just wish I knew how good those guys really were. You know, I wouldn't have tried so hard.
Well, you know, it's funny, Ron. I mean, I can remember all that like it was yesterday. And of course I was a fan, you know, obviously. So I was watching all that, but you know, it's funny. I remember Charlie being the punter, and I remember, no, he was. And I remember when people,
a lot of people don't, you know,
yeah.
A lot of people don't remember that.
No. And I remember like, when he was gonna be the quarterback, and I remember saying like, gosh, I thought our punter's gonna be a quarterback, you know, it was crazy. And then, when he was playing basketball, you know, I remember him being good, but then, I mean, he played for the Knicks for like 11 years or something. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, here's something funny, John. I remember literally my senior year, I got the recruiting report, and I was like, Bob Serra from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Nobody's ever heard of him. He's a freshman. And then I'm like, Sam Cassell, oh, he had to go to junior college first. And I'm like, oh, Charlie Ward, he's a punter, you know. And
yeah,
I played
yeah.
with Charlie a little bit in summer league.
Sure.
At the Dade Street League here in town and stuff. And I'm like, Charlie, what? And I literally said it out loud. I went, gosh, I'm going to get a lot of playing time this year. And after I was done, you know, I played on some travel teams. You know, we went over to Germany and Denmark. And then I played on some just teams that would play against colleges and stuff. And a lot of times on those teams, I would be the lead scorer. I had 44 one time. You know,
wow.
Points against the Denmark national team. And
wow.
These guys would ask me, like, man, how much did you play last year? You know, and I said, I'd say 40 minutes, you know. And they'd go, yeah, that's what I figured, 40 minutes a game. I went, no, 40 minutes the whole season.
Now,
I began to tell them, you know, who I played with. And
it's crazy.
Like I said, it just, you know, they were so good. It made me such a better player. And it was a wonderful experience looking back on it, but not so much fun when you're going through it as a player trying to fight for playing time.
For sure. Now, did Brad Johnson play a little bit at the same time?
He did. So Brad, I met Brad, you know, my first year there. And again, just the amazing athletes. Brad ended up starting as a freshman on the basketball team. And he was from North Carolina, so his childhood dream was to go to the Tar Heels and play basketball. It was his favorite sport. And ended up coming to basketball, FSU on a football scholarship. But he came out, ended up getting a starting position on that team that year. And that's with George McLeod. I mean, that team was a top 10 team with George and Tat Hunter and Irving Thomas and Tony Dawson and just a great team. And then his sophomore year, he got the starting position as quarterback. So he'd play a basketball game with us and then they'd fly him to his football game, you know, and he did that for half the season. It was just crazy. And then of course his responsibilities with football just kind of took over and he wasn't able to juggle both anymore. But you know, I mean, to play with two sport athletes, Brad and Charlie, on one team in one era, I mean, you know, how many people do that at that level, you know? I mean,
well, I mean, look,
incredible, you know?
I mean, how do you even, like, explain, like, to somebody, like, yeah, the one point guard, he won the Heisman Trophy, and, of course, you got Brad Johnson, who won a Super Bowl ring with
Super
the Bucks.
Bowl. Played 17 years in the NFL, you know?
Yeah. Totally crazy. I got to say one thing about Sam Cassell, because I remember he was getting recruited And I remember somebody in the athletic department, trainer or somebody, I was in the, you know, because I was a runner, and somebody said this. They said, he's the greatest player we've ever had here, Sam Cassell. I remember hearing that about him. And the other thing I heard about him was that I think he graduated high school when he was 19. I think he sat out a year, and then he went to junior college. And so his first year with us, he was like 23. And of course, I remember thinking to myself, 23, that's so old. Like, who's this old man? And by golly, he played forever. I mean, he just played forever. Yeah. Like, good for him,
yeah,
right?
He did. I mean, he played. I mean, when you're a guard, you know, he was 6'2 guard in the NBA and played 17 years. I mean, you are a great player.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he knew how to, not only was he good as an individual player, but he knew how to play the team game so well. And, you know, when he got to Houston, he just understood, hey, my job is to get the ball to Akeem, you know?
Right.
And he just, I mean, when I played with Sam, every once in a while I'd get to rotate with the first team. And every time I played with Sam, I would be the leading scorer in the scrimmage because he would just set me up for three pointers the whole scrimmage. And he was just that type of player, you know. He was kind of a crazy personality, but when he got on the court, man, he just knew how to play the game of basketball.
That's awesome. Well, Ron, I want to take a break here in just a minute, and when we come back, we're going to start talking about what you're doing now, and I want to hear about advice you have for young people. But thanks for going down to like a little bit of a Florida State memory lane. Like, you know,
yeah, it's always fun.
You were one of my heroes, and you still are one of my heroes, and that was a really special time. So thanks for sharing all that. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back with Ron Miller on the Crossman Conversation.
This is Pastor Darrell with Point Ministries. I invite you to tune into Point with Darrell Jones every Sunday afternoon at 12:30 p.m. It is my goal to point you to the Word of God, where Jesus is the point. Join me Sunday afternoons, 12:30 p.m., right here on The Shepherd.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Okay, Ron, we're back, and you're so kind to let me talk to you about all those, you know, crazy days back in the day and all the basketball you were doing. So I want to move forward to now. You know, obviously, you've had a really exceptional athletic background, and I introduced you, you know, in the context how I knew you athletically, but then I knew you spiritually. And so now, all these years later, you know, you're doing a lot of cool stuff. You're a senior pastor, Every Nation in Tallahassee. You're also a human performance coach, and then you're also doing some stuff with nutrition and healthy gut kind of stuff. So it's kind of interesting. It sounds like if somebody, you know, was really trying to get back in shape, but like the totality of shape spiritually, physically, nutrition, you know, all that kind of stuff. That sounds like your world today. Is that what you're doing?
I am. You know, I really kind of focused myself at midlife of just really, you know, when you get there, you're either going to digress or progress, make changes and move into what I believe God has for us. You know, our latter days can be better than our former days. And, you know, in the last segment, I mean, I felt so fortunate because I was able to live a childhood dream and have some unique experiences. And so when I got to midlife, John, I was kind of battling, like, can my future be better than my past? Because I've had a pretty amazing past.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had to really kind of just sit down and be willing to, you know, make changes as you kind of get in that midlife rut. But as I was doing that, I'm like, hey, what do I uniquely as an individual bring to the table? And, you know, there's better basketball players than me. There's better speakers than me, pastors than me. There's better, you know, health and fitness people than me or strength coaches than me. But I said, you know, when you bring all of those together in one person and the combination, I go, I'm pretty unique in that, you know? And so I really began to, you know, kind of find my niche in midlife I like to kind of call myself a human performance coach and really helping people develop in spirit, soul, and body. We're triune beings. We have a soul, our mind, will, and emotions. And we have, of course, our physical body, which, you know, most people just focus on that. But also what makes us unique from all of creation is we're spiritual beings and have the ability to commune with our creator, God, our Father. And so, you know, as a pastor, I help people spiritually. As a strength coach and personal trainer, I help people develop physically and help them with their nutrition and their gut health. And then, of course, you know, with having an understanding of both the development within of your mind and your will and your emotions is just as important as anything else. And, you know, I saw this billboard yesterday as I was driving home. It was a soldier on you know, you could tell he was in training for battle, and it said battles are won from within. And it's like, that's 100% true. And so working from the inside out is kind of my focus now, you know, is helping people get strong spiritually, help them get strong in their mind, will, and emotions. And then, you know, once they're in a good place there, that the physical part, it can usually be the easiest part when you're in a good place in the other two.
I was talking to a really elder kind of statements in Central Florida on some big topics. And I asked him, I said, what do you think is the most important in a leader? And he said, energy. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, if you want to be a high performance leader in your church, in your, with your faith, you better have a lot of energy, because it's hard. It's a lot of work. Some people really love the Lord. They want to impact their communities, but they're way out of shape. They can be more action oriented doing things, but they have to have the energy. Is that correct?
It is correct. And, you know, kind of a common word that's used to describe that also is, you know, being passionate about what it is that you do. And, you know, if you think about it, I mean, there's, you know, what I learned is there's really three ways we should assess our overall health. And it's our digestion, it's our energy, and it's our mood. And, you know, God created us to be energetic, to be passionate, to be, as you mentioned, a leader and an influencer. I mean, scripturally uses the metaphors, we're to be light and salt. In other words, we're to change environments when we step into whatever environment that we are in. And so, you know, once we start getting older, I mean, we get away with things when we're younger just because our bodies are so resilient. You know, scripture says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so many times we take advantage of that. But, you know, to be lethargic and to be unhealthy is just not our divine design and how God created us. And so most people just kind of fall into that because they don't know how to make the necessary changes to be filled with God's spirit and then to keep themselves healthy. Think about it. I mean, fruits of the spirit, you know, they're joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, longevity, faithfulness, self-control. So we get that when we're filled with God's spirit, you know, his joy, his encouragement that gets released in our spirit, which is so important. I mean, who doesn't need encouragement, right? I mean, if you don't have encouragement, you're not going to be courageous and strong. And then the other side of it is, you know, when we're not healthy in our nutrition and we're not healthy physically, we don't have good gut health. And so what begins to happen, we get inflammation in our body, which is where all our joint pain comes from. We suppress our serotonin, which is released from our, you know, that's our positive neurotransmitter that gets released from our gut. And that's what gives us the energy and the feel good feelings. And we get, you know, that brain fog and just very lethargic in life. And so, you know, they're all connected. Our spirit, soul, and body is connected. And of course, spiritual and character and things like that profit a lot more than just physical parts of our lives, but it does profit some, the scripture says. So when you can tie in God's spirit, your character, the spirit, the soul, and the body, and have them all healthy and in order and functioning and connected well, that's how you really are able to, I believe, serve God and serve others at your full potential. And, you know, I've just kind of cracked the code of how to connect all those three in a very healthy way. And, you know, John, I went from being a pre-diabetic in my mid-40s, high cholesterol, incredible joint pain, almost battling depression, and to now, through this transformation at 53, I feel like I'm 30 again and I've got a new lease on life. And like you talked about, man, when I walk in the room again, I'm a magnet. I'm attracting people. I'm a light. I've got this energy about me that is just attractional because, you know, my life in that way is such an order. And I'm just so passionate to try to help other people get there, you know, because life's too short to live below God's divine design for us.
Listen, I've had some experience in the last few years with athletes that are, you're my age, that were athletes at FSU, and they 100% live in the past. They 100% are waiting for the phone to ring to be asked to be, you know, on the field at a football game or at halftime or something like that. and they don't have any future plans. And it's really sad, you know, like that.
It
now,
is.
I'll tell you who's the opposite, who is a guy that's a contemporary of yours that's living like you, is Sammy Smith. You know, here's a guy that played in the NFL and went to prison, but then got his all his rights restored. He's a chaplain and for FCA at Ole Miss. He graduated from college last year, got his degree, right? And so Sammy's like you. He's like, he's going to a whole nother level, which is awesome. I also just want to mention that I had one issue where I had suffered from clinical depression, and I think my clinical depression was brought on by over-exercising, which is a common thing for former athletes. The other thing that happened is I got an ulcer, and part of that was I think I was stress eating. We can't live like when we were in our 20s, right? We have to start evolving and treating our bodies differently. But if we do, we can make big impact. Is that correct?
1,000%. I mean, so everything flows from the inside out. We know that, right? It's just being able to make the lifestyle changes to live within that discipline. And, you know, epigenetics now has revealed to us that we either turn on or off our best genes. And there's only really two ways we do that. We do it by our thinking and by our nutrition. And so you're either activating the best of what God put inside of you, or you're suppressing it based upon how you think and how you eat. That's basically what we become. And we know that in scripture. I mean, that's why Paul addresses it all over scripture. But in Philippians, he says, you know, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, think on these things, right? I mean, we're to take captive every thought into the obedience of Christ. Why? I mean, that's because it's important, because you're either activating your best genes and, you know, the best of who you are and getting in God's perspective by your thinking, or you're not. And then the other one is, you know, how you're eating. I mean, if you look in scripture, the first sin in the Bible was, you know, they ate something they shouldn't have ate. Jesus's first temptation coming out of the desert was to turn the stone into bread. You know, Daniel, what made him different than the others when he went before the king was his meal plan. And it's not a fast. There's no mention of fast in that chapter. It's how you are supposed to eat. Esau gave up his birthright for something, for something he ate. Jesus, when he reached the Samaritan woman and, you know, changed her life, and then she led others, really a whole village, to Christ, you know, during his conversation with the disciples, when they were wondering, what is he doing, having a conversation, first of all, with the Samaritan, secondarily with the woman who, you know, both were looked down upon at the time, he told him, he goes, look, I have food that you know nothing of. In other words, my food's to do the will of the Father. And so when we get our thinking and our eating habits right, and the disciplines of our spiritual disciplines, prayer, worship, reading God's word, fasting, all of that, our body functions the way God designed it to function, to be in relationship with him and to be able to serve others well. And that's the most powerful way to live.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Ron, we're going to need to wrap up. By the way, Mike, I think Ron's actually studied some scripture. I don't know if you picked.
I did.
I know you're not a real churchy guy per se, Mike.
Not at all, John.
No, but he seems to know. This is guy mentored me.
I like it all.
Right?
It's
amazing.
Wonderful.
Ron, if somebody's listening to this and they could be anywhere in the country and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting older and I'm a little overweight and my energy's down, I don't feel good, can they find you on a website and reach out to you and get counsel? Is that a thing?
100%. I've got over 70 people that I've helped, you know, this way, just in the very ways that we've been talking about. And again, that's how I've aligned my life. I work personally with about 15 clients and training here in town, but I've got about 70 over the last year and a half that I help with their nutrition and their gut health. And
so how do they get a hold of you? How would somebody get a hold of
you? You can message me on Facebook like you did. My number is 850-251-5845. They could text me and just say, hey, I heard about this from the Crossman conversation. You know, either way would be fine. And I've got people all over the country. You know, we're part of a movement in 81 different nations. So, you know, I've helped people, not just in my local city, but all over the nation. And
that's awesome.
That is my passion. Love to do it.
That's awesome. Well, Ron, when I was a nobody and you were a somebody, you helped me. And I will never forget that. So thank you for being the show, and thank you for being a role model to me most of my entire adult life.
Now you're a somebody and I'm a nobody.
No, so that's not.
Thank you for 20 minutes making me feel like a somebody.
Well, you are a somebody.
That's the reciprocation.
Well, thank you so much. This has been the Crossman Conversation with our guest, Ron Miller, FSU legend. And so thank you. Have a great day. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.